All right. Thank you very much, everybody. I wanted to ask if there's anyone that has public comment to make before we get started with the meeting. Okay. Everyone has seen the minutes from our last meeting, and I want to ask if anyone has any corrections or changes to those minutes.
They look good.
All right, thank you. I'd like to ask if we can make motion to please approve the minutes.
I'll motion that we approve the minutes.
Thank you, Kathy.
Seconded.
Thank you, Stephanie. All those approving, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, so we have unanimous on the minutes. Let's open our regular meeting. Now it's 5:33 p.m. So we'll start our regular meeting. And I guess first up is Ms. Lopez.
Yes, thank you. Good evening, everyone, and I hope everyone is staying warm. I was frozen when I got here from work, but I wanted to start by saying that we are full remote until January 28th. By then, we will get together again as an admin team and also discuss with the board to be able to provide and reconvene with an exact time to continue and to think about our plans moving forward in terms of in-person. Teachers are using Google Classroom as well as Schoology to make sure that they are consistent with what they were using in the classroom and are able to navigate all of the virtual needs that these platforms do provide. We are prioritizing our curriculum that are geared towards virtual learning. One of the great things that we learned from last year being in the middle of a pandemic is making sure that everything that we start to utilize to become part of, that there is some form of hybrid, you know, processes towards it that we can utilize in case something like this occurs. So I do want to say thank you for the board for helping us prioritize safety and help us to create an environment that is consistent of learning. So, and that is one of the great reasons why we're able to have the resources currently to be fully remote until January 28th. With that, I also want to just talk a little bit about teacher effectiveness overall. We were able to have a professional development for our teachers in terms of remote strategies. That was something that was really effective for us. We were able to utilize some recommendations and materials from ANET that provided us a good way to look at, you know, best practices around virtual teaching and learning. We are doing walkthroughs that's been in effect. One area for us was looking at student attendance and engagement. So that's something that our teachers were getting familiar with, of seeing us in the classroom and connecting with students as well, making sure that engagement was taking place. We are in the midst of DPAS. So that is an area that I know that a lot of teachers wait for. We are in the announced visits for evaluations, and they're being planned and they're happening right now, currently virtually. So wanted to just give a highlight on that. Our last area is around just student engagement and culture. We have had different opportunities to look and identify of active strategies to evoke engagement. That is PEACE, as you know, one of the key areas of being virtual is, you know, how can we sustain engagement? So that's been an area that we are constantly trying to identify, work on, creating school pride, creating incentive programs to provide our students an opportunity to connect further and have no interruption in their learning. Also, I do want to give a big shout out to the culture team. Our culture team have been doing a great heightened job in terms of their level of involvement and impact in our classrooms. They are ensuring attendance and as well as discipline by being in classrooms. They have spread themselves where they're able to attend classrooms and provide assistance, not only to the teachers, but also just providing that extra level of support for students. So that's been truly a win-win. Also in terms of communication, we are constantly throughout the day emailing, texting, calling, using Remind and robocall for our families to make sure that they have up-to-date step-by-step or to make sure that students are engaging and attending as they should. So our goal for this month is truly to heighten that engagement process and to have a key presence in the classrooms to provide teachers with that extra support that is needed. Finally, I will end with some kudos. I would have to say, I want to say kudos to Stephanie Toronto for doing a PD on self-care. When I tell you, our teachers just kept talking about it and they are requesting for you to return. So seriously, thank you. I know it was, some of you may not know this, but it was, she was getting married that same week. And for her to take time out of her schedule to come in and do a PD session for our teachers, that just meant everything. So thank you and congratulations again.
Thank you.
Yes. I also want to give a shout out. I know he is not here to Rob Snowberger. He actually, and also Angela. I just want to say thank you for our holiday and ending of the semester. They were able to provide donations so that our teachers can feel supported and appreciated in different ways. We had a holiday gathering at Stitch House, and we were able to also provide different forms of gratitude because of the really the kindness of many of you. So I just want to say thank you for everyone that really thinks about us, because that's the only way that we keep thriving. So kudos, and I am done. Are there any questions?
Great report, Ms. Lopez. Thank you. I do have a question. Yes. When you went fully remote, what kind of feedback did you get from the parents and the students and staff?
So one of the key reasons why we were also being remote was the numbers, the heightened numbers. We had a large numbers of staff members that were also, unfortunately, because of health reasons, COVID may be your family members, that were unable to come in the week that we were starting. And, one of the things for us is how can we balance learning if we don't have, the type of resources. We're also getting a number of emails from parents about either their concern about students coming in this climate of heightened Omicron virus going around, as well as students being sick and saying, can we go virtual or assignments be sent home because they won't be coming in this week. So those things were taken into consideration as the decision was made. Also, we are constantly sending out surveys to and communication to make sure that we are getting their voices as well. So on the 28th, we want to be able to revisit and have more data that will help us make the best decision. In addition, we were also able to survey teachers and acknowledge whether or not teachers felt comfortable to teach virtually. And that was key for us to make sure they also had the proper support. So all those elements, and that's a very good question. All the elements were, and stakeholders were to me, were reflected on.
Thank you. And Ms. Lopez, when you are virtual like that, how are your tutors assisting you?
So actually, we've been seeing a number of different methods that we hope to hopefully put in place once we return. They're able to be a little bit more targeted, where I think that, and just overall, we've just had a discussion on Jim today where we've seen such a heightened level of engagement of students, and we wanted to kind of see and analyze what's that ingredient and what's happening that we're seeing students that, you know, were not initially submitting work on time or now being on it. We're wondering, we just had a meeting, we're wondering what is that, what is that prompt? What is that area that is motivating students to do that? But in terms of our tutors, we are seeing able to look at overall and see the engagement in the classroom and not be, when you're in person, you're all over the place. When you're online, you're able to see what are some of those direct needs. You're able then to troubleshoot a little bit better. And we are seeing some of that happening.
Excellent. Thank you. And I also want to give kudos to Mr. Kent because he had COVID and he was working throughout the whole time. So thank you, Leland.
Yes.
Appreciate that, Jim.
It has not been easy.
Yeah. Several of us definitely tested positive and we are pushing through. So thank you, Sam, for a wonderful report as well.
Yep. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. So the finance report is next.
Hey, Michelle.
I'm going to go ahead and take it from here. All right. Did everybody receive, I actually prepared November, December, because this meeting was late enough in January, we were able to get December's reports done. Did everybody get November and December? Because I'm thinking I'll just report through December since that's your date.
We got two reports.
Okay. All right. So taking a look at the report, do you need me to share my screen?
Which report did you want to go through?
I'm going over just the budget versus actual report. Or does everybody have it in front of them and done?
I mean, you could also project it. I think it may help, you know, whatever.
I think it would.
Okay. Let's see if I can. Yes. All right. So. All right, so on the screen is the financial reports through December. The budget that's here is still the preliminary budget. Leland and I will need to meet over the next week to work through some of the items that will need to be amended. We have pretty much scrubbed the budget, and at this point, we just need to go through and see what some of management's decisions are about various different things so that we can reflect those in the budget. So this budget is still the preliminary budget that was approved at the beginning of the year. Budget is showing as you budgeted initially $7.3 million in income, $5.2 million of that income has been received. There's some big changes that have happened that we'll need to reflect in the amended budget. Our biggest concern is charges to school district. That was budgeted at $2.2 million. The $1.6 million that you received is pretty much what you're getting. So you're going to be $540,000 budget there, and we will need to reflect that in the amended budget. Also under state funding was budgeted at $3.5 million and $3.1 million is what's been received. So there's some recapture that's being done under the state funds because your enrollment after the September 30th count did come in less than what your enrollment was at the May 1st count. So we're expecting that number to go down as well. So we're looking at about a $500,000 hit to the budget that, you know, management and I will need to work and talk about how can we offset that amount that was lost based on the original budget. But right now, 72% of your revenue received compared to what originally was budgeted at $7.3 million.
Now, Michelle, when we had our last meeting, I think your expectation was that you guys were going to go through and look at some of these things that need to be adjusted. Are we feeling more positive about this now, or we still don't know how big the gap is going to be?
So right now, because we finally got the state numbers, those have come through. That's the thing that Leland and I most definitely will have to work through. Right now, the budget is not a viable budget. So that's why Leland and I have to meet to go through areas that maybe there can be some cuts that can be made to help offset that loss in revenue. So that gap right now, Leland and I will have to work through. And so our goal is to present that actual amended budget or plan at your next meeting, which I believe is coming up in just a couple of weeks. You guys are scheduled to meet again in the beginning of February.
Yeah, if that does not change because of the school schedule, is that going to be staying as scheduled, Leland, at this point?
Yes.
Okay,
so at that meeting, I won't have to present a financial report because you essentially would have seen it here because it'll be too early in the month for us to present the actuals through January, but what we will present is a revised budget based on a viable plan that the school can actually operate on. So you will be seeing that in the next couple of weeks. On this budget for expenses, we're seeing that facilities and maintenance is showing at 60%. And initially this was budgeted at a little over $1 million. $650,000 of that has been expended already. For instructional support, you budgeted initially $6.4 million in expenses, and 46% of those expenses have actually been expended. So $2.9 million has been expended in instructional support. And then finally, transportation, you've expended about half of your budget. Transportation, I'm not sure that that number is going to change, so you seem to be on line with transportation. So we are 50% into the budget year. So this does reflect through December 31st. So this is halfway through your budget year. So transportation seems to be in line with what was originally budgeted. So what I'm showing that you've actually expended year to date as of December 31st is $3.8 million. You are operating at a surplus of $1.4 million. And then when we add that to your carryover, you have an ending fund balance of $2.7 million. If you take a look at that ending fund balance of $2.7 million, you've already expended $3.8 million year to date, so you're not going to be able to duplicate that for the remaining half of the year because you'll exhaust your revenue as well as any surplus that you have. So we most definitely have to look at what operations are looking like for the rest of the year to make sure that we're making some changes there so that you're not depleting everything that you have. So again, we'll present an amended budget at the February board meeting. Any questions?
I have a quick question, Michelle. Hi, it's Erica. I'm sorry. I just had a question about where the one of the lines, I think in the previous meeting, was for like athletics and after school activities. Would that be something that's listed under student body activities, or is it listed under something else now?
So some of those are going to be listed under student body activities. The report that I have in front of you is the summary report. You should have got the more detailed report that backs that up, where you can see a little bit more detailed line under items under instructional support. So for a lot of that's going to fall in student body activity, and then any transportation related to student body activity would actually be reflected down in transportation.
Okay. Got you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Any other questions? Okay. If no other questions, I'm not sure that you'll need me for the rest of the meeting, so I'll go ahead and say goodbye, and then I'll see everybody in February when Leland and I will be presenting a new budget. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Angela.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you.
Okay, I think the next item up is Leland, the Executive Director report.
Yeah, thank you, Jim. I'm going to share my screen. All right. For our executive report for the month of January, I want to highlight just our dates concerning our virtual return. After winter break, we decided to go virtual based on the health, safety of our operations, of our overall team, our students and staff. There were a number of team members who tested positive for COVID prior to myself. And as a result, we decided to go virtual based on our view and of our ability to be, make sure that our school was safe if everyone did come back. So we took an extra week to focus on the efforts and enhance our virtual learning as Sam shared earlier, and it really paid off dividends in regards to our ability to be able to present virtually and remote. So the next date that's really important is 1/28, end of this month. We are looking to reevaluate to see if there needs to be a shift in virtual learning to a hybrid model. Maybe we can go where students who need in-person support can return to the building and we can have a pod version similar to what we learned from our past experience. And on top of that, we can also, or we may decide to come back 100% in person. Our goal is to be in person as soon as we can, do it safely. Realistically, we are looking to return mid-February, and we will report and seek board input in an update around the 28th based on our parent survey to see what the needs are. But we will prioritize instruction, safety, and operations and consider parental choice and the staff workload. Many of our staff still are battling after testing positive, so we are keeping a pulse on that. Any questions on that thus far regarding our COVID response? All right. So right now, our overall commitment, virtual learning commitments, 4 days of synchronous lessons, live teachers Monday through Thursday. Friday is an asynchronous where teachers are able to plan, get support, professional development, and mostly plan, and students are able to have office hours with teachers as well as do asynchronous work. We also have dedicated time for additional support for those students who need additional support. It's also time for students to access meals. The CEB, beginning next week, will be provided 2 days a week for our families and our students to be able to come by and pick up breakfast and lunch to meet any food necessities or needs. We are also at the end of the month providing another professional development for our staff, and definitely want to give shout out and thank Stephanie for coming through at the beginning of the year with our opening day. She definitely met the needs of many of our many of our staff. Our fellows, everyone has been ringing the bell in regards to how that was so helpful. We are still making sure that we are not missing a beat with our IEP 504 and ELL services. And our expectations of resources for students and families stay the same. Any families who have immediate needs with housing or food, we are still making referrals to our Family Resource Center here at the CEB. And we have made Chromebooks available one-to-one for every student who needs it, and that is from 7 through 12.
Leland, when the students graduate, do they get to keep those Chromebooks?
Yeah, the students who are graduating, we are asking them, we're only asking for students who are returning to return the Chromebooks so that they can be fixed or what have you. But our seniors, we are definitely blessing them with the Chromebooks for future use.
I think that's a nice touch to let them keep them.
Thank you, too. All right, go on to the next slide. This month, the Delaware Charter School Network, led by Kendall Bassett, is leading a great charge, charter collaboration where educator voices are being lifted. And our very own Joe Ross was selected by our leadership team to represent our school. And Joe Ross, I'm going to share a video clip of Joe Ross right now representing Great Oaks as well as charter schools across Delaware. And the campaign theme for this is Best for Me. All the educators have chosen to teach at charter schools and for the ability to have flexibility. And let's hear from Joe.
I taught out of state before I came to Delaware. One of the things I love is there is a big emphasis on education here, and specifically wanting to innovate and wanting to change up the game. Every kid doesn't match with how education is traditionally done. What really attracted me to charter schools in Delaware was the freedom that I would have as a teacher to design curriculum that is going to be specific to my students. There's more work for me, but you just feel that taught out of state before I kind of swept. One of the things I love is.
Excuse me 1 second, let me just pull that up to where it's just one voice in my teacher voice. There we go.
I taught out of state before I came to Delaware. One of the things I love is there is a big emphasis on education here, and specifically wanting to innovate and wanting to change up the game. Every kid doesn't match with how education is traditionally done. What really attracted me to charter schools in Delaware was the freedom that I would have as a teacher to design curriculum that is going to be specific to my students. There's more work for me, but you just feel that energy in the room kind of swell. I'm still held to the same standards as other teachers, and Delaware has high standards for students, and that's a huge benefit to our students here. We're not committed to just 50% or 60%. We're committed to 100%. How can we reach all of our students? And if you're happy to be there and they're happy to be there, then we're all working towards one goal. Charter schools are best for me.
We are honored to have Joe representing Great Oaks as well as our charter school network. I love his passion in regards to meeting all of our students' needs, and definitely want to just piggyback on the number of teachers that you saw in the video. Yeah, the video was filmed at Great Oaks, but and I just want to highlight that at FCB, that Joe came to us this year, first year, at Great Oaks, but he's been teaching for several years, 7, came from MOT to Great Oaks, so we're very fortunate to have him, and definitely want to highlight that, very proud of the work that Kendall is doing with her team as well, to bring awareness to the work that's happening within charter schools. And there are billboards, and this video clips, we'll be campaigning for the next several months on social media as well as across Delaware. And now we're going to go to enrollment.
Hi, Leland, do you have the opportunity to put that on the website as well?
Yes, it will be going up tomorrow on our website, along with photos, a photo shoot that's associated with it, and all of our social media we will be presenting. The videos as well as the still pictures.
Thank you.
Yeah. Currently, our enrollment is our current enrollment. We went to unit count with 285 students enrolled at Great Oaks. We are currently at 294 with 22 current applications. We are having weekly upcoming recruiting efforts, include weekly open house tours, some to be virtual, as well as in person if requested. Eighth grade shadow days, we're focusing on our eighth graders to come and visit the high school upstairs and shadow a upperclassman. We're also coordinating with Thomas Edison, Eastside, Charter School of Newcastle, as well as Coomba at their different high school fairs, as well as inviting them to come and visit Great Oaks as well. And then we have social media campaigns and marketing, and we are still using Carvertise, where it's Great Oaks marketing on cars that are being driven by Uber drivers and being seen by we have five or six active cars right now that are being driven by entrepreneurs who are marketing our school brand. Any questions regarding?
Leland, regarding the recruiting, how are you guys feeling regarding next year? It's kind of early, obviously. And we're gonna have a big cohort of students graduating. So the gap that we'll have for next year is gonna be big. How are you guys feeling about that?
Yeah, we definitely feel like this is a year, and it's actually not, I think it's the right time. It's not early. Actually, open enrollment started, I believe at the end of November. So we're like almost 2 months in. We feel very strong that this is a time to capitalize through relationships and making sure that our, not only our teacher voice is elevated, but also our student voice through social media. We are working with some of our inside staff and Ms. Walltower, as well as Ms. Jarman, Ms. Henderson, as far as our relationships with our families. We believe that this is going to be a year where, as we highlight the good things that are happening with our current students, that it will be definitely a recruiting a plus. But we do have, our goal is to recruit at least 100 new students. We believe we're going to be losing about 60-some seniors this year, as well as some eighth graders. But our plan is to keep as many eighth graders as we can. So we're looking at maybe 80, but we're looking to recruit and gain 100-plus new students.
What indications are you getting from current eighth graders?
We have actually positioned staff to begin to engage some of our eighth graders. As I shared with you previously, that some of our eighth graders, their parents went to Votech schools. And so it is kind of like trying to recruit them and keep them in a small learning environment, small groups, and the tutoring services that we have and what is working well with their child or with their student now, and how we can support them moving forward. So, but we have gotten about 15 students that we know are leaving, and pretty much they are aiming for the Votech schools.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else have any questions for Leland?
I had a quick question, Leland.
Yes.
In regards to the social media, so the campaigns and the marketing, are we getting feedback in regards to you guys collecting, like, where people are hearing about Great Oaks, right? So from the different advertisements, so that we kind of can keep track of, you know, what's working and what we may need to adjust based on that. So if it's, you know, where a lot of people are seeing the cars that are five or six that are out, then they need to stay on the road. If it's they're more seeing the billboards or some other things that may be getting people's attention, are we kind of tracking that as students are engaging interests?
Yeah, we have to meet with First Ascent to discuss where we had a big campaign, if you recall, end of last year towards the end, where we made a big push with First Ascent. Where we are right now is they are supporting our website, but we are looking to see where they can support us regarding our media. Right now, we're doing it internally with internal staff, but we are looking to see how we can work with our media and consultants like we did last year.
Okay.
Yeah. Also, Leland, we had a concern about students and sport availability, different sports available. Are you getting any feedback from students or prospective students regarding that being a stumbling block for us, or you have not gotten any feedback on that?
Yeah, we have had conversations with students who are looking for sports and other opportunities where that may be offered at other schools. And that is something which I'm going to touch upon this year. For the first time, we are DIAA across Delaware, which is the Interscholastic or Athletic program, and that's available to our students. This is our inaugural debut, and we're competing in basketball. We're looking to compete in track and field, baseball, softball this year, and some other sports for the first time. In the past, we've competed against other charter schools. This is the first year we're competing across Delaware.
Excellent. And kudos to Erica as well, because for many years now, she's been helping with the cheerleading team. And I know we're going to discuss it later. Thank you, Erica, for your efforts.
Absolutely. We're going to definitely highlight that. Thank you, Erica.
Just a quick shameless plug on the 20th Thursday, Great Oaks versus Frary basketball. So if you are in town, please don't miss it. It's going to be a big basketball game. Please do not miss it.
Front row. I got front row seats for all of you. Thank you, Sam, for that plug. That was good. All right. So also this Thursday, we do have our Title I presentation that is being done by Kayleen Gillis, which she will be meeting with some of our parents. As a Title I school, we are doing a presentation to make sure that our families are aware of what services and what programs are associated or affiliated with it, and make sure that they our breasts so that we can continue to partner with our families and meet all the needs of all of our students and as well as their families. So this will be a virtual presentation this Thursday. The Zoom link will be here, but it's also on our website if anyone is looking. Sure. All right. Any questions on our Title I presentation? I will add also that this is part of compliance, whether it's federally as well as a state. In last year, we were 84% compliant, aiming for 100% this year. And we just had a meeting with the DOE last week, and we are looking pretty good. And this is part of the process of making sure that we are in compliance.
Leland, are you getting good participation from parents when you have these meetings?
Yeah, Jim, this will be the first one this year. You know, we are virtual. So we have, we've been communicating through surveys or what have you in ways where it's more or less a virtual engagement. So this will be the first live meeting that we're having to meet with our families. So I will give you feedback at the next meeting.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. We are continuing to build bridges. I definitely want to lift our partner here in the building and the CEB, and Linda Jennings and David Bowman and the rest of the staff. We are good, we are trying to get better, and we want to be great. We're providing student access and opportunities for growth. The CEB just recently got $997,000 over 3 years to stop violence in schools grant. And their plan is to work and support us with student advocacy, working in mentorship, working with many of our students who need additional supports. And they are working with organizations like Brothers, Born Brothers, as well as CIT, who will be working directly with some of our students, including additional support. So kudos to CEB for continuing to work with us and partner with us, and we look forward to having more information about that and maybe some more slides to give you more information in the future board meetings. All right. At this time, we want to also highlight Miss Amani Young, or Mrs. Amani Young, who is our ELA extraordinaire pillar in the Great Oaks Wilmington school community. When I think of Mrs. Young, I think of someone who is involved in everything. You don't have to ask her where is she, because she is there, you know, no matter what's going on. If it's lunchroom duty, she's there. She's calling the students. The biggest thing about her, I can say about her, she has the greatest relationships and trust factors with our students in and outside of the classroom. So I definitely want to open it up for anyone else, but I am a huge, huge fan and supporter of Amani Young, who will be out on maternity leave soon. We're going to be missing her for an extended period, but she's already committed. Like, this is where she wants to be. Definitely want to shout to the hills. Thank you, Amani Young, for being a part of the Great Oaks school community. We shout you out.
Really quick, I'll say two quick things. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons we wanted to highlight Ms. Young was because of her, not only her dedication to the school, but to the students, especially making connections with them while we are here in the building and continuing to do so while we have gone virtual. She's definitely made it a point to make her classes as interactive as possible, make sure students have whatever it is that they need. A lot of students have a lot of trust in her and come to her for things. You know, sometimes that may not even be just about classwork. So we wanted to highlight her for those things as well.
Absolutely.
It's that kind of dedication that makes the school special.
Absolutely. Just want to keep it open if anyone else wants to say anything.
I just quickly want to say that she is that kind of professional that shows up when needed. She is someone who really has the best interest of our students and our community as a whole. You know, to the point that we have to remind her, ma'am, you're expecting. We need you to just slow down, because she is definitely goes 100 miles per hour for our kids. And the respect that they have for her, the love, and just looking at her as an inspiration, just means a lot to us. To have someone that can truly connect with our students and make sure that their needs are being met no matter what. That says a lot about Ms. Young. And for that, I do want to say that she is well-deserving, because she is someone that if she is in your team, she is like a gift that will keep on giving. So.
Thank you, Sam. Yep. And in closing, I just want to highlight that Amani. Mrs. Young is always looking to grow. Is that Amani speaking? I don't know if she's on the call, but I definitely want to give her a moment to speak too. But she
that was Kira. I was wanting to say something about Ms. Young if I can. I'm sorry.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Listen, when I tell you Ms. Young is that teacher, she is that teacher. On post, I never have to worry. She's always there before I even ask, filling in at the drop of a hat. Never have to ask, and it makes such a difference, and I appreciate her so much for it, and it is well deserved. Thank you.
Absolutely. And I just want to close out by just saying that she is passionate about teaching. She's, you know, although she's a veteran teacher, has been teaching for years, she is still looking to grow. On top of that, she is drumline, and she is with theater and acting, with music. She is just all in regards to supporting students and giving them inside and outside of the classroom opportunities to express themselves. All right, Amani Young, we celebrate you. And Jim brought up something earlier about our sports. And then in the next slide, we want to give a little sample of our basketball team in its inaugural year. Is in the black. So we are very honored and very grateful to have another addition to our staff this year in Mr. Backer, who is our physical education and health teacher who came from Kaumba and has hit the ground running as far as introducing new things to our school and allowing us to compete in the DIAA. And so definitely want to give him a kudos, and he is committed to being here. And so definitely looking forward to some great things as far as sports, Jim, to your point, in regards to expanding and growing in that particular area as we recruit.
That's a great achievement, Leland, to be able to add sports and have the kids engaged like that. So in addition to their education, getting the physical activity and engagement and team camaraderie is a huge part of their high school experience. So that's all very, very good. I'm very happy that you guys were able to do this. Congratulations.
Thank you. We are definitely moving forward. I'm very excited. This will help in some recruiting areas as well. Also want to take the time out to highlight our cheer squad. The Go Round cheer squad last month got to compete regionally in Maryland. This month, this week, they will be headed to the NCAA or the National Cheer Competition in Dallas, Texas. I want to take this time to really give kudos to Erica, as well as Miss Henderson, as well as Miss Broadnax, the mom of them all moms here. Who will be traveling with them. I want to give Erica a chance to speak on her squad as well as her experience working with this great group of young students.
Thank you. So our team this year, and actually we were able to do this as well in January of 2020. The NCAA is the National Cheerleaders Association. You have to receive a bid to be able to go to nationals. So the team participates in a summer camp. We did a home camp this year. We had someone come to us here at the building, and through all the different skills and techniques and activities that they did with the NCAA representative, they ended up earning a bid to go to nationals. There are teams from across the country, not many from the East Coast. We'll be the only ones from Delaware participating in this, and you know, we really wanted the team to be able to have this experience again. The last time we went, that was kind of the highlight of our year that year, because about, you know, a month or so later we were all in lockdown, so we wanted the team to be able to have that experience again, especially since a large majority of the team, everyone but one actually, are all seniors. So we wanted them to be able to have that experience again before they graduate. The team's been working really hard. They, even though we've been virtual, they've been in the building for the past week, doing all their classes from Zoom in the building so that we're able to get in our practice time. Tomorrow's our last big full day of practice before we get ready to head out on Thursday. And it is a 2-day competition over the weekend, and then we'll have some time to explore the city of Dallas and, you know, do some team bonding experiences and things like that. But we will keep everyone posted. I've already been asked to send videos and pictures, and I will make sure they get sent out, as you know, throughout the time while we're down there. And that's it. Well, thank you for the highlight.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you, Erica.
Enjoy it.
All the hard work you and the team do in regards to supporting, all the hours. Erica was late coming to this meeting today because cheer squad practice is going on today in the building. So they are dedicated, they are committed, and they're going to do great representing us across the country. So definitely want to give you kudos. I also want to take a moment and thank Erica this year. And Erica is working as a project manager and not just as the staff representative on the board. She's also an ELA lead. And so I just want to take the moment and say thank you for all of your efforts to collaborate and work with me to meet with all of our staff, admin so far, teachers, and it's been great as far as engaging each and every individual. And next week, we want to meet with our fellows and begin to build there, as well as recruit and look at what next steps are with them as well. I want to definitely give a lift there. So thank you, Erica, for your partnership. And on top of that, I also want to thank Ms. Price, who may be on the call. Jim, you asked about the middle school and the eighth graders. I think it would be, I would be remiss if I didn't highlight what's happening in middle school this year and the amount of glow that's happening with our seventh and eighth grade with Ms. Price leadership. Working with our eighth graders and specifically virtual. I'm teaching seventh grade math, loving it. And some of our fellows are on the call. You ask, what are they doing? Ms. Faber, Ms. Henry, and there are more, but those are two that I'm working with who are, as I'm teaching, they are literally making sure that the students have a visual with the questions that are being asked. They are engaged, working the chat. As far as with our students who are online and supporting students. So kudos to our middle school, Ms. Chalmers, as well as Ms. Price and all of our fellows as well. Definitely want to lift up that whole group because their hard work is going to be make the difference in regards to where our students and families feel supported and will choose Great Oaks as far as moving forward. And with that, just want to say that concludes the ED's report. And I'll hand it back over to you, Joe.
All right. Thank you very much. Before we go to the executive session, does anybody on the call have any questions of anyone on any of the presentations or anything in general? All right, excellent. So we'll, this will be the end at 6:26 of the meeting. And I would like to ask the board to please dial into the executive session after this. Thank you very much, everybody.